have been told so often that we Americans are so mere materialistic and so preoccupied with stuff that we may actually believe that in comparison with other peoples, we are a morally deficient nation. Contrary to this good sermon rhetoric, a self-sacrificing gene is attached to the national psyche. In spite of our obvious failings, Americans excel in helping other peoples. Hundreds of thousands of Union Army soldiers went to their deaths because they believed slavery was morally wrong. They faced death singing, "Christ died to make us holy, so let us die to make men free." New York firemen knowingly went to their deaths in the fiery inferno of the World Trading Center to rescue people they did not even know. In the ancient world, a sacrificial death was a noble death. In biblical terms, the greatest love is dying for someone else. The command to love our neighbors as ourselves is often taken to mean that we must first love ourselves. The greeting, now popular, "take care," might mean first take care of number one. And we all know who number one is. No one can argue with the idea that self-esteem is basic to our functioning as human beings. But self-esteem easily turns into self-love. And self-love is an unrecognizable idolatry of the worst kind. Loving our neighbors requires that self-importance be replaced by concern for others, even to the point of death. At least that's what Jesus says. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, than that he lay down his life for his friends." We fulfill the commandment by giving our lives for others. But as profound as Christian sacrificial love is, the even more profound love is the love with which God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God's love, which rescued us from death, was not the arbitrary decision of a sovereign God, but that love had its origins in the eternal love by which the Father begot the Son, and the Son in turn loves the Father and shows his love for the Father by doing his will. In this divine love, God is Father and Son. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has given to the Son to have life in himself. To the Father's love, from which and in which the Son is the Son and has life, the Son responds in eternally giving himself in love to the Father. Within this eternal reciprocal love between Father and Son, the Holy Trinity is defined as one God. With the love the Father shows to the Son loves us by sacrificing himself, not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. Our love for one another is the evidence that the Trinitarian love is active in us. "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Out of this reciprocal love between the Father and the Son, the world is created. And out of this same reciprocal love between the divine persons, God restores the very world which rejected him, and the unity in which the three divine persons are one God is the foundation of the unity that all believers in Christ have as one church. The crucifixion of Jesus is not the most godless moment in human history, but in that death, we come face to face with the love with which the Father loves the Son, and with the love the Son returns to his Father. Christ's sacrifice for us is not some strange and alien work for God, but it shows us the Father who always loves the Son, and the Son who eternally gives himself to the Father. Our loving one another to the point of giving our lives for one another is not a matter of moral or ethical admonition. It has to do with whom God is as Father and Son. Because we are in the Son and the Son is in us, we give ourselves for one another. And like Abraham, we become the friends of God. Without Christ's divine love, we are caught in an idolatrous self-appreciation and are doomed. But with Christ within us, we love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and we begin to love our neighbors more than we love ourselves. On days of national commemoration, we cannot stand aloof as cold ingrates. Whatever peace and security we have as a nation, we have only because of men and women who are unknown to us, what they have done for us. Greater love has no man than this, than that he laid down his life for his friends. The deaths of martyrs are deaths of a different kind. Their deaths reflect the mystery which is the Holy Trinity, in whom each of the divine persons lives for the other. A good commander never asks of his troops anything he does not ask of himself. We're required to love the neighbor. God loves the neighbor long before the thought ever crossed our minds. We are God's neighbors, for whom he in love risks everything which he is. He is the good Samaritan who helps the helpless. The commandment to love has nothing to do with Mount Sinai and everything to do with the Holy Trinity, the incarnation of the Son of God and his humiliation. And by his atonement, we have overcome death and entered into life. No longer can our lives be taken away because they already belong to Christ in whom we live and die. Love is what our relationships with one another is all about, because love is what God is all about. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, than that he laid down his life for his friends. Now don't leave this chapel determined to love God with everything you have and to love your neighbor as yourself. By being here, you are already loving God. And in preparing for the ministry, you are already loving your neighbor by sacrificing yourselves. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us.